If you haven't been with us before today, though, the past few weeks, we've been looking at the basics of what it means to be a healthy and effective church. And we're using the acrostic D-E-V-O-N as our template. No, I won't ask you what that spells because you hopefully can figure that out. The D, though, it refers to us being disciples who make disciples, right? And we learned that the term disciple simply means follower, but really more like an apprentice follows the master. The E pointed to how our worship of God is meant to be expressive, experiential, and empowering. But we learned that worship is far more than the songs we sing on a Sunday. It's really about living a lifestyle that honors and pleases God. Which brings us to today's talk, which is brought to you by the letter V. The V in our acronym identified that our service towards others needs to be valid. It needs to be valid in order for it to be effective, right? Again, if you're new today, simply missed any of those previous talks, I highly recommend you take a look at them on our YouTube channel. That way you won't miss a thing, okay? Each of the points that we're going to look at in this series come from two statements that Jesus made, which were recorded by one of his early followers named Matthew. They're known by the church as the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. Let me read them for you. Go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've taught you, and I will be with you always, even until the end of this age. And the Great Commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and most important command. And the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, it's been said that a great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandments will build a great church. And as a pastor, that is the task that God has given to me, to equip Devon Church to become a great church in God's eyes and in the eyes of our community, so that they are drawn to follow him along with us. And today's topic, I think, is a big part to play in that, in how people in our community see and relate to Jesus through us. Service is supposed to be about reflecting Jesus' heart to the people around us. The early church history book of Acts says, Jesus went through the land doing good for all and healing all who were suffering under the oppression of the evil one, for God was with him. When we follow in Jesus' footsteps by serving people like he did, by doing good to those who have real needs around us, then his love shines through our lives, attracting them to him. Listen to how Jesus explained this to his followers at one time. He said, you are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see, so that they will praise your heavenly Father. So you see that doing good through through relevant service to others will bring praise and glory to God. But the problem I've found in too many churches is that they think their service is supposed to only happen within the walls of their church building. We even call our Sunday gatherings services, right? But the fallout, I think, of using this term to me has been that too many in the church think that showing up on Sundays is about the extent of the service that God expects of them. And that's why we're going through this series of getting back to the basics of what it means to be the church of Jesus, so that Devon Church never falls into that pit of self-centeredness, of disobedience to the Great Commission and Great Commandments. So let's get into this now and look at how and why the church needs to be about serving others. Okay? The first point we have there is that versatility is key. Versatility is key. In our overview a few weeks ago, if you were here, we saw that God delights in blessing every relevant act of service. Jesus said, "This is a large work I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on a thing." Jesus says that the life of a true apprentice, one who is truly following him, is all about serving and sharing. And no act of service, no matter how small, goes unnoticed or unrewarded by God, he says. But the point that Jesus makes is that our service to others must be something that's actually a benefit to them. Right? He said something as simple as giving a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty. It could be as simple as shoveling your neighbor's walk who can't do it because they're doing a 12-hour shift at work. It could mean spending a couple bucks more buying at a local mom and pop shop that sponsors the neighborhood Little League. It could be donating some loaves of bread to the elementary school for their new breakfast program to feed low-income kids, students. Or it could be sitting and listening to someone who just got some bad news, and they're not sure how they're ever going to be able to cope with what they've heard. Serving others doesn't have to be big and flashy. In fact, it probably shouldn't be, because it's not about us. It's about meeting people's needs in a way that's relevant and meaningful to them. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but people have all kinds of needs. In fact, people have needs that you can do nothing about. You don't have the skill. You don't have the resources to help them. But the person sitting beside you or across from you may have exactly the abilities that are necessary to meet those needs. That's the genius of the church. Nobody can do everything, right? But together we can do everything through God who helps and enables us. The early church leader named Paul, who traveled the then known world starting new churches, wrote to one of those new churches in Corinth, Greece. He said, "I would like everyone to be like me. However, each person has a special gift from God, and these gifts vary from person to person." That tells me that my gifts matter. Right? Each person has a special gift from God. The things I can do are useful then. They have a purpose. They were given by God, and that means that they're necessary and able to help meet somebody's needs. Sometimes, well, maybe too often, I found that folks can get hung up on either one of two extremes. Either they think that others should be like them, or they think they have nothing to offer. Both of these positions are harmful because the one ends up condemning others while the other condemns themselves. I remember one guy from a previous church that would go to the mall each week, talk to people about Jesus, and he would come into my office and complain about the other people who were not doing what he was doing. I don't know how many times I tried to explain to him that people have different gifts, right? For serving God. You're doing what God has gifted you to do. But he just could not get past being able to see people through the lens of his gift. There was also a lady in that same church that seemed to always beat herself up for not being really able to do anything useful for God, at least in her eyes. Yet often, she would tell me about different interactions like they were nothing, about how people just would just open up to her randomly, right? And tell her their troubles. And she would just pour into them and encourage them. And I told her, you, my dear, have the gift of encouragement. And God is using you to touch those people. It was so funny when I told her this, because she'd go, what? That's not a gift. Everybody does that. I go, no, they don't. Trust me, I'm a pastor. Every week, I'd come away talking with her. I would go away feeling, wow, I feel lifted up. I feel blessed. I feel encouraged. And I tell her, you know, that doesn't happen with everybody I talk to in the church. Okay? And she would just stand there dumbfounded. Folks, we've been given different gifts, right? And no one's gift and ability, none of them are more important than anyone else's. Each and every gift is so that the church can be versatile, able to meet the diverse needs that people have in our community. And with the gift that God has given to you, he's also given you the ability to see where that gift is needed. What do I mean by that? I mean that you can see the needs that others can't, because your gift makes you aware of that need. Remember, God said, or Paul said, he's given us these gifts in advance to do the work that he has prepared for us to do. So that's why we can see those needs. You see, let me give you an example. A mechanic walking down the street comes to a clattering parked car and right away can hear that engine needs some new lifters. He sees a truck next to it blowing blue smoke, right? And knows that that truck either needs new head gaskets or rings. In the same way, the gifts and abilities that God has given to you help you to see and to hear the problems that you are uniquely qualified to solve. Make sense? God, that means God has given you the awareness and the ability to meet specific needs that he expects you to meet. Paul explained it to the church in Ephesus, Greece. He said, God has made us what we are. And in our union with Christ Jesus, he's created us for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. He set the stage. He's prepared the way. We just need to walk in it. So the gifts and abilities God has given us aren't for us. Yes, they can help us to maybe make a living and stuff like that, because he's not saying don't use them, right? But the purpose of them is to build his kingdom. We just get to reap some of the benefits of having those gifts, right? They're given so we can use them to show others God's love. Which brings us to our second point, that when we serve people, value is shown. Value is shown. You ever wondered why Jesus, the all-powerful God who designed and created the entire universe, John says in the first chapter of his gospel, would ever willingly lay his power and position aside to come and die for people? People who turned away from him and even against him. Paul answered this question in a letter to the church in Rome like this. He says, Christ died for us at a time when we were helpless and sinful. No one is really willing to die for an honest person, though someone might be willing to die for a truly good person. But God showed how much he loved us by having Christ die for us even though we were sinful. Sinfulness simply means we're not living in the way that God says is the best for us to live, really, when it comes down to its essence. It's not how he designed us to live. God made us to have a full and happy life by being in relationship with him and one another. But humanity's rebellion against him separated us from those good things that God had planned for people. Things like unconditional love, like joy, peace, hope, and life forever with him. It says, but God showed how much he loved us, how much he values us by dying for us. To pay the price of our sinful rebellion against him, which the Bible says is death. That's the penalty. Paul explains it like this. The payment for sin is death, but the gift that God freely gives is everlasting life found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why did Jesus come and die? Because he values us more than his very life. And he still loves the people he created. And true love always values and acts for the benefit of the one that is loved. Love always adds value to other people. The most famous verse in the Bible, I think, reveals this perfectly. God loved the people of this world so much, he gave his only son. Right? You see, God values you so much that he had to demonstrate his love through the sacrificial offering of himself through the person of Jesus, the Son. Sort of reminds me of a pastor who officiated a lot of weddings. This guy's much brighter than me. Because one time when the nervous groom asked, Pastor, how much do I owe you for this wedding? Pastor just smiled and said, just pay me what you think she's worth to you. I imagine that pastor late made a lot more money than I do. But because to each groom, the bride is of incredible value, right? Folks, every person is of incredible value to God. And he demonstrated your worth for him, to him, by paying for you with his life. And then he rose again with the promise of an abundant and eternal life with him. Church, because people matter so much to God, they had better matter to us. We need to love and value people just as he loves them, because love values others. And through our service to them, it shows that they are valued by us, but more importantly, by God. Final point we need to understand is that when we serve others, vitality is given. Vitality is given. Vitality simply means vigor, energy, life, right? Life is given. This means that when we give of our lives, life is given to them. Folks, this to me shows that serving others is a win-win scenario. What I mean is that when we serve others, both the giver and the receiver benefit from the exchange. I love what King Solomon of Israel, often considered the wisest person in antiquity, had to say about this in the Bible's book of Proverbs. He said, be generous and you will be prosperous. Help others and you will be helped. This is the universal law of sowing and reaping, by the way. You get back what you put in and more. If you plant one apple seed, you only get one seed back in return. No, you get a bushel of apples, maybe that, right? Each year. And every apple has seeds in it. Not just one, not two, well, four or five, depending on the apples, right? But there a number, you get a number of seeds back each year. This is how it is with God, because he is the one who designed the world to be this way. When we give our lives in service to him by serving others, he gives back even more. The early church historian Luke recounts Jesus saying, give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. When we serve people, it's a blessing to them, no doubt. But it's also a blessing to us. Because when we love and value people enough to help them, God works in and through us by his Spirit You see, God takes our simple act of service and he blesses it. So it makes not only a physical difference in the person's life, but a spiritual difference as well. It takes us back to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The reason we serve others is so that they will see Jesus' love shown through our good deeds, right? And be drawn to praise and follow him. We give of our lives so that they can find new life in him. That's why your service matters. Why it's vitally important to fulfill the Great Commission and Great Commandments. No service is too small in God's eyes. And no need is too small for him to care about. Because he values and cares about every aspect of our lives, each and every one of us. So we should value and care for each other in the same way, so that his light and his life can shine into their lives. Maybe you're here watching today, and you never maybe realized how much God loves you, how much he cares about you until today. That he loves you so much that Jesus came and died so that you could be forgiven of your sin and given eternal life with him. Remember Paul's words, the payment for sin is death, but the gift that God freely gives is everlasting life found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you'd like to receive God's gift of everlasting life by following Jesus, by living for him, I'm going to help you by leading you in a short prayer. If we could all just bow our heads. If that's you, you can just simply follow along with me silently, and God will hear you because he already knows your heart. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I just love this, Lord. I come to you today. I accept your gift. I want your gift, God, of a new and everlasting life with you. I confess, I have been living my own way, and I never realized that you have a much better plan and purpose for my life. So please forgive me and help me to live for you. I don't understand it all yet, but I do believe that Jesus, you are God, came to earth, died on a cross to save me from going into eternity without you. I believe that you rose from the dead to prove that you're God and to give me a new life forever with you. Thank you. Thank you that I can now live the rest of my life as the best of my life. And help me to live a life of serving you by serving others. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Band comes back and finish up with another song. If you did pray that prayer for the first time, could you please let me know? I'll be right at the front here if you're here in the room. Otherwise, you can fill in a Connect card either online or I think there's some out in the foyer or maybe in the seat back pocket. I'm not sure where they are, but I'll find them for you if you come see me. Anyways, next week, we're going to be looking at how important it is to be objective when you look at the Bible. So we're going to learn about how to look at the Bible, how to read it, how to study it, and how to understand it, okay? So I hope you'll join us for that next week. I'll turn it back to Cole and the band.